The 9 most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Oblige him.
And because we've seen it or not doesn't mean it hasn't happened.
The Republic got dumber because of that tweet.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
AM 770, Brian Suits here with producer Greg. Well, you call it Practice Friday or the 11th of August. A couple people in the PNW in the last couple hours call it crash your stolen vehicle into a building. From Renton to Wallingford, we'll get to that. Also, not quite sure if that's how you use an AR-15 to kill someone, but what do I know? Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here. Let's get to work with the right way traffic. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and local TV and national TV freaking out about Joe Kent taking the lead and Jamie Herrera Butler conceding in the 3rd District there in Southwest Washington. And for the record, up to this point, now only 2 Republicans who voted to impeach Trump the second time are being returned. One is what's his name, Chapman, here in Washington, and the other
Newhouse.
What's that?
Newhouse.
Yeah, Newhouse. I said Chapman. And the other is a Republican in California's Central Valley who won the Republican primary because he has a Hispanic surname, and also because he's not a bad guy. People like him. Did you see the first general election Kim Schreier ad?
I have not.
I don't want to play it because I'm not sure what the rules are about playing a campaign commercial about it. But boy, is she afraid of alienating Republicans. Mm-hmm. So it's an ad with the mayor of Issaquah, who's this one person. And she says, it's basically like the Red House, the furniture store commercial that we stopped playing a couple of months ago. She says, hi, I'm blah, 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 Mayor of Issaquah, and I'm a Democrat. Then it split screens. And it's some guy, and it's, hi, I'm Mitch Tentpole, and I'm Mayor of Wenatchee, and I'm a Republican. Because Kim Schreier's district now is this insane district where somebody in the Sammamish Plateau is supposed to feel like they have anything to do with somebody in Wenatchee. Meanwhile in Wenatchee, They're asking, what the hell do we have to do with some Microsoft customer experience engineer in Sammamish Plateau? But so anyway, here's the crazy thing. When you look at the imagery of the ad, there's no red and there's no blue. It's green. If you mix red and blue, it's purple, by the way. But so the ad begins with her saying, I'm Kim Schreier, a real doctor. No, she didn't say that. I'm Kim Schreier and I approve this ad. Then you get this Democrat mayor and Republican mayor in the same district, and they're just praising how she's had 4 bills signed by Biden, says the Democrat mayor of Issaquah. And then the Republican mayor of Wenatchee says, and 8 bills signed by Trump. So they're touting her moderate bona fides. However, she's a Democrat. So anyway, it's just a really curious ad. And I hadn't seen anything like that. And so I don't know, maybe I'm happy with that district. If she's that afraid of a pro MAGA Republican candidate peeling away people from her district from past the Cascade barrier, then, you know, anyway, local TV did a thing on, you know, moderate Republicans are freaking out and all that. And then nationally, they were going down the list that all the Republicans have voted to impeach Trump either announced they're retiring like Kinzinger because he knew he wouldn't win. Or they've lost, like Jamie Herrera Butler. The one bell that hasn't rung yet till next week is Liz Cheney. And otherwise, only 2 have won their primaries. But Liz Cheney in Wyoming, so you're only seeing this on TV, but her dad is talking directly to the camera about Liz's honor and the whole thing. She is still losing by double digits to the Trump endorsed challenger for the Wyoming primary. It doesn't look like she'll be returning in January. But it just interesting how it's being covered, that Joe Kent practically has horns on MSNBC and the whole thing.
Well, I'll tell you, Brian, I am troubled by this for this main reason. These representatives of the GOP that will not be returning to Congress, whether they're retiring or were voted out in the primaries here recently, they're not going away because of their voting record. They're not going away because they don't pledge loyalty to conservative principles. They're going away because they show no fealty towards our former president. I find that problematic because politics is turning more and more into cult of personality and less about where you stand on the issues. I, for the life of me, do not understand why so many conservatives just cannot separate from this man himself. I am a conservative through and through, in a more traditional sense, maybe more in the vein of a George H.W. Bush or a Reagan. I like to think of myself as a Lincoln Republican. And I just do not understand why we cannot detach from the former president. To me, it seems clear as day that that is the move to make in order for conservative principles to survive. Let's go in a more DeSantis type direction. You know, a lot of people think he's Trump light. I think he's not as morally compromised as our former president. I did not celebrate when Jamie Herrera Butler lost this primary. I'm not going to celebrate when Cheney goes away, which is more than likely to happen. I personally like Adam Kinzinger. That might not be popular to say on a lot of conservative talk radio stations, but I want to represent that wing of the conservative party here. And I'm deeply troubled. And I think the red wave could be compromised, actually.
It might. But I mean, the evolution that I've undergone, because I think generationally, I don't want to see, an 82 year old guy, as if. Well, they're talking about Biden right now as if the Democrats really are going to put him up for reelection, but he would be 81 or 82.
It's crazy.
And I think Trump is too old. I think it is DeSantis time, but it's not going to be, because as of right now, he's not only going to run, but he's going to win. And the alternative is, if they have something on him, they better announce that. And there's at this point, the option where we all take a deep breath and say DeSantis versus Newsom versus Gavin Newsom, that's gone. That's over.
You really think
as of this week, that's done.
Wow. Because of this FBI search warrant?
Yep. It's either Trump is president or Trump is in handcuffs. And either way, it's division almost, not quite. I mean, I have context on this, but it's the day before Fort Sumter. At that point, but the country is here's what's funny is no state's going to secede, because, by the way, constitutionally, you can't anymore. little fun fact about the Civil War. But you could back then. You can't now. But we're individually seceding. As the thing I read earlier this week about how people are self-selecting to move to states that more align with their beliefs on LGBTQ and abortion rights. I think it's a dumb real estate decision, frankly, but that's what people, the numbers don't lie. The Californians that earn an income and pay tax are GTFOing for Texas. Or Wyoming, or Thurston County, in my case. And, I almost threw up a little bit in my mouth because I never was in California. But we're seeing that, and I think this is just another layer.
But that's a shame to me. I don't want to live in a red and blue America, although some might say that's the reality. I want to live in a purple America. I want to intermingle with the other side. I want to show nations that it can be done to live side by side with those who you disagree with at your core on principle, and not have it descend into hatred for one another or outright violence.
Yeah, screw you. I don't want, because of my beliefs or because of the radio station I work at, I don't want people labeling me. I certainly don't want to be looked at by coworkers, you know, who have, you know, whatever. And this is one thing that's happened. I for one, blame the ability on social media to be anonymous. Because things are said to you that you would never say to someone's face.
Oh, that's a huge part of it. For sure.
And I think that, you know, a Rubicon has been crossed. Are you, Greg, you never told me there's Barnes in Renton.
Is this a segue?
Yeah, it is. Well, when we come back, mayhem, police pursuits. I thought they couldn't pursue people, but they can certainly stay behind them. One ends in a business here in Wallingford, King County, on the tail. The other one ends in a barn in Renton, just a couple hours ago. Both happening in the last couple hours. Mayhem on the streets. Let's count the toll. Be right back with Know It All right after this on AM 770 KTTH.
I want it all, and I want it now.
Know It All. First thing.
I want a free car, then I want to crash it into a building with police in pursuit. Let's go to overnight chase number one, Theron Zahn of Como News with a windbreaker at the site of the denouement of the pursuit.
Good morning. Take a look behind me. This building here seems quiet now, but boy, it was anything but just a few hours ago. We learned this all started with some kind of pursuit involving King County deputies, ending here with a truck up against this building, the scene being cleared not too long ago. It all started before 2 this morning. People in this area were startled when the truck ended up against the building. At some point, police cars were also damaged in all of this. Witnesses tell us there were 2 people inside that truck, with one of them being arrested. The other took off. Police canine units were brought in. We're still waiting for word from Seattle police if that person who took off was caught. We talked to a man who lives in this.
Spoiler, Theron. That's why you bring the fur missile out. It looks to me like a up in Shoreline. If you're looking for your big GMC 3500 white cab construction vehicle, I think I may know where it is. But we haven't heard from Kinko or SPD, and the Seattle police is so thinly spread, they had to wake a couple dudes up, people up. I use dudes, non-gender specific, and they had to get up and respond to this. And so anyway, I didn't hear, there wasn't like a lockdown or anything in Wallingford. Anyway, they did bring the fur missile out, and no word on that. Meanwhile, in Renton, this is breaking news. There was a barn in Renton. There's not anymore.
Is this thing 2?
Yeah, this is 1.5.
1.5.
Thing 1.5. But I played the 2 thing anyway.
Second thing.
I'm paid by things, so I got to crank out the thing. I'm paid by commission. 10,000 South Carr, C-A-R-R Road. Do you know the place?
I do not.
I know West Valley Highway.
Yes, I know that too.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't? Am I right? Another pursuit ending in the death of a barn in Renton.
This morning, where a barn in Renton appears to be damaged by a car.
Yeah, we got Fox 13's Dan Griffin live in the scene for
on
us.
Car Road. On
what went on this morning? That damage looks pretty extensive behind you, Dan.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, this woman who owns a landscaping business basically says she got a call this morning that a car had smashed into her building here, this barn-type building. She runs Edland Associates Incorporated. She says basically she got this call, says the building is now tagged, and she's waiting to get a hold of the building department to figure out what happens next. But she says her business is basically destroyed. This is in the 10,000 block of South Carr Road here in Renton. You can see just how much damage was caused. So obviously whatever kind of vehicle it was that smashed into this did a really good number of damage. You can see the supplies inside the building kind of tilted to the side.
Well, don't sound like you're admiring it, Dan. So it was a barn that was converted to a business. And he said the name of the business, but he slurred it. It's gone. And so anyway, a Renton landscaping business that was inside a barn destroyed. The car crashed into it. It's unknown what led up to the crash. Probably a stolen cheesecake. And the condition of the driver is not known. But two bits of breaking news. There was a barn in Renton, and breaking news number 2, not anymore. So it's red tagged. And it's, by the way, it's collapsed. There's no question of, you know, what are they going to do? Just spray paint? Just buff out the scratches? No, it's gone. So that landscape is another victim of senseless car pursuit crime here in the state of Washington. That leads us to third thing.
Third thing.
Where is it? Where did I put thing three? By the way, the I'll make this the third thing. The Field of Dreams game is tonight in Drainsville, Ohio, whatever it is. It's pretty hard to get to. And that's even
I thought it was Iowa.
Iowa. Yeah, yeah. You know, it's another four-letter
Iowa
state
Shmiowa.
That ends with a vowel. And so the last year was the first game. And I got to say, there was a big element of, I think the reason that was so cool to see is because it's never been done. It really counted as a regular season game. It was a walk-off home run to win it. And it began with Kevin Costner walking out of his corn.
Be hard to top that this
year. Yeah, it was really dramatic. And it was, you know, even for me, by golly, you know, I get just invoking Field of Dreams to any real American male. Especially if you boil it down, you know, to that. Because one of the few baseball games that doesn't end with a phenomenal home run. I mean, baseball movies. It ends with him reconciling with his dad, his ghost dad.
As I've said, I don't think it's a baseball movie.
It's not.
I think it's a familial dynamics movie at its core.
And it's so emotional. So now you're really playing a real baseball game there. Of course, Ty Cobb's not there because no one liked him when he was alive. And Kevin Costner gives a speech. Well, tonight it is the White Sox and the Reds, and it's going to be a sunset. They do it at sunset. I'm not sure if Kevin Costner is going to come out and do what he did last year and read the baseball speech and all that. But here's the sadtrombone.com. They've announced right now, and there's not going to be another one. If I were them, I would kind of get that out there.
Wait, why won't there be another one?
Because you know why? Because a known baseball hater owns the Field of Dreams.
Frank Roger Thomas. Goodell?
I know. No, the Big Hurt, Frank Thomas, great Chicago White Sox, also a great Auburn linebacker.
Oh, yes, I remember the Big Hurt very well. I did not know he owned the Field of Dreams.
The Big Hurt is the head of a construction company that's developing the whole area for Little League, and a big softball complex will be a hotel and resorts and stuff like that. And he said, look, you know, we're not touching the field. You know, we're not, hey, let's buy that so we can overturn it. Well, you know, it's not like it's a Chinese development company.
Put some corn there.
Yeah, so, sorghum, more per acre.
I want to see it.
But you're not invited.
Not invited? What do you mean I'm not invited? That's my corn out there. You guys are guests in my corn.
Go crash a car into a barn, Mr. Kinsella.
Okay, so what's going to come of the field next year?
So he's saying it down the road, they'll replay the game. And again, it's a regular season game, you know, it counts, but the stands and things like that aren't going to be there. But down the road, they want the game to come back there because Major League Baseball loved the ratings last year, and they're going to love it tonight. I'm going to watch the darn thing. Last year, didn't they wear old-timey uniforms?
Yeah, and they're going to wear those again this year as
really?
Well. Really? Yes.
The Wool in Iowa in August. Good.
That's going to be hot.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy thing about this. There's this one company here in Seattle that does authentic recreations of old-timey teams, baseball, minor league, Negro League, Pacific Coast League. I'm always wearing a San Francisco Seals hat, right? They make them authentic. What's crazy is it's like a sweater for your head. It's crazy how woolly they are today. I'll take a picture. I'll send this out. I'm wearing the Portland Buckaroos, everybody. The Portland Buckaroos is what I was wearing in this morning's Facebook Live. But they were not a baseball team. They were a football team. So I mean, a hockey team. So I wonder who's making these uniforms last year and this year. I think it'll be an authentic look. I guarantee you could not put a modern baseball player in an old-timey uniform and have them compete at their current level. No way. Just no way. No way. All right, when we come back, I don't know how this fell off the radar, but a few days ago, a man in Auburn was killed by an AR-15. But the way he was killed is probably the reason you're not seeing it in the news. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH.
Thank you.
770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and your Ukraine update, sight gagged. I tweeted out yesterday, so go to at Dark Secret Place. The Russians have, it's redundant to say propaganda channel, but RT, Russia Today, is sort of an umbrella for a couple other little outlets, and one of them is called Ruptly. And this is the one that employs scumbag Americans who can't get real jobs in broadcast TV locally, even as the traffic reporter, you know, even the weather reporter has to change maps and stuff. The traffic reporter just points to a red line that transitions to yellow. They can't even get that job. So they work, you know, for Ruptly. Anyway, not the point. So they're interviewing a Russian officer actually in the occupied Crimean Peninsula. And he's going on.
Все зенитно-ракетные части, которые находятся на территории Республики Крым, перевооружены на зенитно-ракетную систему С-300 Триумф, которая ее даже с 300-кой, ну, Крым перевооружены на зенитно-ракетную систему С-400.
You'll hear him talk about the name of their world-beating anti-aircraft system, the S-400 Triumph or Triumph in Russia.
Система С-400 Триумф.
In the background is supposed to be the missile system, right? And this is, I mean, this is devilishly clever, and we do things like this too, but to defeat or intimidate aerial surveillance, you have the real system over here. Maybe you have one or two. And then for every one or two real systems, and it looks like four narrow grain silos right up against each other, right? In a cube, not in a row, but in a cube, right? And for every real missile system, they have two or three inflatables, so that but they're photorealistic, they're detailed, so that unless you're right up against it, you're not supposed to notice that. You're supposed to assume, you should assume that that's a real one, and then you would say, we better not hit that base, it's bristling with S-400 Triumphs. Well, the thing is, it's an inflatable decoy in the background. The camera crew didn't catch this, and it's kind of a windy day. The thing isn't inflated up to its full pressure, so it's like half hitching over. It looks like when you pass by certain used car lots, there's that excited, all red tubular guy with both of his arms up and his hair is blowing straight up, and then he flops over and then he reinflates. Do those have a name? But you know what I'm talking
exactly
about.
Exactly what you're talking about. And I always have to look at them when I'm on the highway. Hey, kids, look at that weird
That's
thing
what
over
this
there.
Looks like. So anyway, it's pretty funny.
But what's also funny is the historical aspect to this, because when I saw the video you posted on Twitter, it reminded me of those inflatable decoys that made the Germans think that the Allies had more tanks than we actually did pre-D-Day.
Shh.
Is that still a big secret?
No. In fact, there's a pretty good documentary about that. But
it's funny they're using the same tactics 80 years
later.
Worked.
Amongst Hitler's own bias, which did more to make him believe we were invading from there, the second thing was putting George S. Patton as the head of a fictional army group. And then you had American GIs running around southeast England inflating fake Sherman tanks. You know, and that's exactly what this looks like. And we, to this day, certain NATO countries do this with inflatable tanks.
I guess what Russia isn't taking into consideration is that we have way better satellite technology than we did in 1944.
But who needs it when you have their own camera crew shooting video of
True.
The inflatable missile system?
Oops.
Well, here's a local story that somehow fell through the cracks. King County prosecutors have charged. And by the way, the Bureau of Crime Statistics that the Department of Justice runs, they don't have a party, right? If you break down how many human beings in America are killed by fists versus any rifle, any and all right, never mind just AR-15s. More Americans are killed by fists every year than rifles, including mass shootings, okay? But what if you mix them up? King County prosecutors have charged an Auburn man with first-degree murder, alleging he beat a man to death with an AR-15. 31-year-old Francisco Ochoa Prado was one leg of a love triangle living under the same roof. He's accused of entering Daniel Parkinson's Auburn home on the night of August 1st, fatally beating him to death with the stock of an AR-15 rifle. And it wasn't because he was trying to be stealthy. You see, Mr. Ochoa Prado knew Parkinson, the victim, owned an AR-15 rifle and kept it in his home. According to court documents, Ochoa Prado told investigators he intended to use Parkinson's rifle as a rifle to kill him, court documents said. You see, they also learned through interviews that his girlfriend had just broken up with him that morning. His girlfriend lived in the same house as Parkinson. Mr. Ochoa Prado assumed the two were in a relationship and thus igniting his fury. She told police that she ended her relationship with Ochoa Prado because he was abusing drugs, according to court documents. So that's why Mr. Ochoa Prado entered Parkinson's home through sliding doors, found the AR-15, and entered Parkinson's room with the rifle. He then pointed the rifle at Parkinson, having him dead to rights, who was asleep, and twice pulled the trigger, documents allege. The gun didn't fire. And Ochoa Prado, not able to clear a stoppage, proceeded then to beat Parkinson to death with the butt of the rifle. Auburn police learned through interviews that Ochoa Prado's girlfriend had just broken up with him that morning, as I said. I don't know how you put that one down. I rather sense that had the gun fired and functioned as an AR-15, we would have heard about it, but it did not. No one breaks in with breaking breathless news when somebody is found to have been beaten to death by an AR-15, because that could happen with any weapon. It could happen with a stick. Anyway. So that happened. We didn't catch it. He's in King County Jail. He waits an August 18th arraignment. His bail was set at $2 million. But anyway, just for the record, you can look at the Bureau of Crime Statistics. More Americans are beaten to death with human appendages than with rifles every single year. I don't know where this one comes down. We'll wait for them to make the decision. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. Brian Suits here. And more local stuff, and also some national stuff. Hey, there's a contract out on my body double, John Bolton. We'll tell you about that right after this. AM 770 KTTH, let's get you to work with our right way traffic. AM 770, it is Friday practice. That means we're close to the weekend.
Woohoo!
See what I did there? The bumper.
Are you a Blinding Lights fan?
No. hey, Brian Fitz here, and if you remember if early in the early dark days of the War on Terror, it took a couple of years to make fun of it. And one of the legendary things Saturday Night Live ever did was a cold open with Robert De Niro as a Homeland Security director announcing a bunch of names of terrorists that had been, they were tips given by America's high school and college students. And I mean, it was legendary. And this is pretty much the only piece of it that I can play is because, see, they're all joke names. That's the entire bit.
Also currently searching for a man we believe to be an Al-Qaeda lieutenant who's Bin Farteen, his cousin, Ibin Farteen, and their close companion, Ajit Madrors.
So it is hilarious, right? It's really, really funny. I'll send it out on Twitter. Well, here's the reason I bring this up. Someone's trying to kill John Bolton. And not just someone, but a nation state called Iran. Wants to negotiate a green light to get a nuclear weapon. They've decided to put a price on the head of John Bolton, former U.S. ambassador to the UN, a national security advisor, et cetera. So the Department of Justice and the FBI did a video yesterday, and because Mehdi Rezaei is the guy, and it was almost the same set. But so you have on the left a deputy attorney general for counterterror or whatever. On the right is a woman who's she'll identify herself, but she's from the FBI, counterterror, and all this. And they're just absolutely stiff as boards. And that was the entire joke about Robert De Niro, is he stiff as a board reading joke names. But this really happened yesterday, and it immediately reminded me of that skit.
Emergency's Quds Force, Shahram Prasafi, offered a U.S. resident a significant sum of money to hire someone to, quote, eliminate the former national security advisor. This was not an idle threat. And this is not the first time we have uncovered brazen acts by Iran to exact revenge against individuals on U.S. soil. We will work tirelessly to continue to expose and disrupt every one of these efforts. The Justice Department has the solemn duty to defend our citizens and those living in the United States from hostile governments who seek to hurt or kill them. We will not tolerate this conduct from Tehran.
And meanwhile, the FBI woman is absolutely motionless,
as a reminder waiting that
for
our
her
memory
part.
Is long and our reach is far. We will work relentlessly to bring to justice those who would violate our laws and threaten our people.
Over to
Hello.
You.
Hello, I'm Larissa Knapp, Executive Assistant Director of the FBI's National Security Branch. Today's announcement makes clear once again the FBI's top priority is to protect the American people by preventing acts of terrorism. According to the complaint unsealed today, Iranian national Shahram Prasafi attempted to hire an individual to assassinate a former national security advisor here on U.S. soil. Through the hard work of the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Forces, we were able to detect this heinous plot and disrupt it.
Somebody ought to mash that up. I'm just saying. Maybe I'll be doing something later today. Anyway, Shahram Prasafi, also known as Mehdi Rezai, I'm going to take a while to have to think about those, is a guy accused of offering $300,000. Now, by the way, in my administration, you give me this proof, enough proof to do this hopelessly humorless, very serious video about a guy offering money to kill a former American national security advisor and U.S. citizen. You give me that kind of proof. Don't indict the SOB. Tell me this on the QT, and I will bomb the living crap out of the biggest Quds Force base in Iran. And I'll leave behind the indictment. That'll be on the last bomb. On the little parachute. Remember those guys you shot out from the slingshot and they had little parachutes? The indictment will be there. It's an act of war. Assassinating a former American official. That is what it is. I don't lawyer up on this. My God.
And this person who used encrypted messaging apps to offer $300,000 to hire someone to murder Bolton also alluded to a $1 million offer for a future job. And apparently the target of that would have been Mike Pompeo. This was all in response to the killing of Iranian General Qassem Soleimani in 2020, apparently.
And the reason I mentioned Quds Force is because Qassem Soleimani was the head of Quds Force. He invented Quds Force. He invented Hezbollah. The guy was a crazy-eyed student, but he's not stupid. At the Iranian Revolution, he immediately got to the inner circle, and he said, now that we've had the revolution, we're going to need someone to guard the revolution. So the Iranians have the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. It's like an army, but it's bigger than an army. Imagine an army that has a car factory, a navy, an air force, and an airline. And then, oh, by the way, this is all in furtherance of doing overseas terror. And, you know, probably of the Americans killed in Iraq between 2002 and the last one was like 4 years ago, at least 2,000 were killed by roadside bomb, a specific kind of roadside bomb made in Iran and given to the Shia anti-American guys, the Muqtada Sadr army. They have already crossed swords with us. They know what we're capable of doing. We're probably, I hope, lulling them into a false sense of security by lawyering up. But I'm sorry. It's really obvious that I would have said this about this. But this is the entire basis of the Saturday Night Live skit, was that you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't come out and name guys. You wouldn't read these names if you didn't know where they were. And anyway, you wouldn't read them anyway. You would quietly go and, well, let's go back to Larissa Knapp.
Iran has a history of attempting to assassinate individuals in the U.S. it deems a threat. But the U.S. government has a longer history of protecting the homeland and holding accountable those who threaten our safety and security of our citizens.
I like that word, accountable. accountable in a courtroom in America or accountable to Odin? You know, I don't know. I just know that you don't appeal. When you get blown up and you go to whatever heaven you believe in, there's no appeal. There's no one saying, well, his human rights weren't afforded to him when he was extradited to Manhattan for trying to kill an American, for trying to hire an assassin to kill Mike Pompeo or Bolton, John Bolton. he wasn't given culturally appropriate meals, Your Honor, so you should dismiss these charges. No. This guy gets the flying Ginsu knife Hellfire missiles, what he gets, just like his boss did in January of 2020. So there's that. And by the way, there's another set of rules that does work when you're speaking the language of assassination of and terrorism and the Quds Force in Iran. There's another language that they understand. They savvy. They get it. It's just that it's a rule book we don't even employ, that the United States doesn't even employ. It would have saved thousands of American lives. If you told someone your son or daughter would be alive if only we used this rule book, thud, and they would say, why don't we? And we would say, well, because we're America. And that's the bad rule book. We don't use that one because the world holds us to a different standard. So we die at a different rate. And I'm sorry. I'm over it. I'm really over it. I was angry at this when I saw this yesterday until it reminded me of the De Niro thing.
Question over there.
Yes. Is there a way to identify who's been farting?
Our operatives have picked up his scent.
See what he did there. So, back in a second. You gotta leave him laughing.